provided. Well, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise today. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Bless your name. Bless your name. Bless your name. Hallelujah. 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 Lord bless you. You may be seated. It is good to be in the house of the Lord today. And I am here on a detour. Brother Shep said it was a divine detour. So God knows. God certainly knows. I was passing through and on my way yesterday. I had to speak at a funeral in Atlanta, Georgia yesterday. And then I was scheduled to preach in Kentucky this morning. And I just sent a courtesy text to your pastor. I know you're not supposed to text and drive. But I sent the little text and said, I'm passing through your neck of the woods on my way to Kentucky. Just wanted to let you know. And he sent me a text back, I am on my way to the ER. And my world changed. I said, I'm on my way to the ER. I'll see you there. And so he did a little bit of negotiating. Well, he didn't have to do too much. All he had to do was ask me. And so here I am. It's good to be here and enjoying the service, the presence of the Lord. And I believe that all things work together for good to them that love God. And we've already heard several times today that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And I have had so many changes of plans to my schedule this weekend. I was supposed to fly out to Jacksonville, Florida yesterday morning. Somebody said, if you want to make God laugh, tell Him your plans. That's the story of my life. So I was scheduled to fly out of Jacksonville, and on Wednesday morning, I had an aunt. She was a pastor's wife for many, many years. She passed away on Wednesday morning. And her family called me and said, we're going to try to get the funeral for Friday. And then they sent word again that it was impossible for a funeral to be on Friday, to be on Saturday. So I realized right away it would be very difficult to speak at a funeral at 10 o'clock in Atlanta and fly out of Jacksonville at 5:30 in the morning, the same morning, for Kentucky. So, but God knows. And I learned a long time ago that God can direct my life a whole lot better than I can. The sooner you find that out, the better off you'll be. And so, here I am. Little did I know, 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, I'd be here with all of you folks. But here we are. So God knows. Amen. I was just hoping when you folks discovered that the pastor wasn't here, that you were stuck with a substitute, you wouldn't be reaching for things in your purse to throw at the pulpit. And so that hasn't happened yet, so that's a positive. Praise God. So if you've got anything to throw, throw some amens and hallelujahs and thank you, Jesus. Amen. Such a magnificent job and work of the Lord, and you are so very blessed. And I know that you know that and you feel that today. I was standing here listening to the exhortations today. And I can hear your pastor's voice and the men that have stood here exhorted. And I thought about a story I heard recently. There was a pastor and his song leader. They could not get on the same page. And the pastor got up and he preached on being willing to change. The song leader got up to lead the closing song, and that song was, "I Shall Not Be Moved." And so the pastor was really disheartened about it, but he got up the next week and he preached on being willing to give, just to give your all. And the song leader got up and his song selection that service was "Jesus Paid It All." The pastor was really discouraged about it, and he thought he would just take a totally different tack, and that he would really come down on some things and really preach strong. So the thing that he thought about preaching strong on was people talking too much. So he got up the next Sunday and he really he preached against gossip. He preached against people running their mouth. The song leader got up and his song that Sunday was, "I Love to Tell the Story." So the pastor, he was so let down, and he decided that was it. He was going to resign. So the next Sunday he got up and he said, "Folks, I am leaving. I am resigning. And I just want you to know, Jesus sent me here, and now Jesus is sending me away." The song leader, he got up, he chose the song that Sunday, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." So that lets me know that church works better when the pastor and the congregation get on the same page. Pastor and the leaders get on the same page. Amen. When the preacher and the saints get on the same page, it just works a lot better. Amen. I want to be on the same page today. What about you? Amen. Amen. Stand with me. I want to read from Exodus chapter number 23. Exodus chapter number 23. And we will read from verse number 20. Again, it's an honor to be here. And the confidence that has been placed in me in the absence of the man of God today, it is an honor. Exodus chapter 23 and verse number 20. I think I just drank somebody's water. I think that had already been over. I just hope whoever drank out of that, they were anointed. Some of that have been on me. Exodus chapter number 23 and verse number 20. "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then will I be an enemy unto thine enemies." Oh Lord, I want that to be true in my life. "And an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off." Ooh, praise God. I'm talking about complete victory. I'm talking about total dominion in your life. Hallelujah. I want to get to that place. That place. Hallelujah. God said, I'm sending an angel to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. I want to get there, don't you? I want to keep on walking until I get there. Because God has a place that if I don't find it, I'm going to be miserable. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. I want to preach about that today. And I believe the Lord has laid this upon my heart. I hope you will help me preach today about that place. About that destination that God has in mind. Hallelujah. Lord, would you help us today? God, would you strengthen your people today? Speak to us as a church, and then speak to us as individuals. Lord, let us have that spirit of excellence that you desire that we would have. Let us have the Holy Ghost anointing for this time, for this place, for this moment. God, we pray you touch the pastor today. Raise him up, Lord. Give him a supernatural touch from another world. God, we love you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We bless your wonderful name. We bless your wonderful name. You do all things well. In Jesus' name. Everyone say amen. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you richly. House of the Lord. I'm glad to be apostolic. I'm so glad. I'm glad to know the truth. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I've been baptized in the name of Jesus. So glad I've repented of my sin. So glad I've been filled with the sweet Holy Ghost experience. Amen. I'm more happy about it today than I've ever been in my life. I'm more convinced of truth today than I've ever been. It's right. The book is right. The doctrine is right. Hallelujah. I've got more of a commitment to it today than I've ever had. Amen. I'm so glad for this Holy Ghost infilling that we have. I'm so glad that God's people are people of the Spirit. What would a church service be without the Holy Ghost working in and among God's people? I'm going to tell you, the deadest service is a dead Pentecostal service. Man, some churches are supposed to be dead. You can tell by whatever name is out there, there's not going to be much. But I'm going to tell you, when it's supposed to be alive and it's dead, man, it's really dead. Hallelujah. Man, I'm glad I'm not in a dead church. Because we believe God moves. And we believe God works. We believe that God operates among His people. Hallelujah. We have been in service where God has manifested His glory. Where God has made His presence felt and known. I don't know of any other kind of service to have we experience the visitation of God in our church services. And we believe that God sends miracles. We believe that God sends supernatural help. And sometimes we only think that God sends us miracles when we're in trouble. We only think that God is moving to help us with our day-to-day burdens and our heavy burdens that we carry. But I want to lift our sights beyond our own burdens and beyond our own troubles today and remind us that there is a work to be done. There are souls to reach.
there is a God-ordained task to be completed. And it is going to require divine assistance. Amen. I want to remind you today that there is a destination that God has for the church. There is a destination God has for His people. Amen. There's a destination. Amen. God did not just want Israel to leave Egypt. He didn't just want to get them out of the land of bondage. But God had a promised land. God had a land flowing with milk and honey, and He had every intention to get them there. Amen. He had every intention to get them there. And I want to tell you, it took God to get them there. Hallelujah. It took God to get them out of Egypt, and it took God to get them into the promised land. God doesn't want to just get you out. He wants to get you in. Amen. And I want to tell you, it took God to get them all the way into that destination. It was not the eloquence and the persuasion of Moses that got them to their destination. It was not the intellectualism of Aaron. It was not Miriam being a team player. It was not because there was such blissful harmony among the Israelites that got them to the promised land. And sometimes as a preacher, I keep trying to tweak the people, to tweak the church, to fine-tune the church. And I preach to them sometimes about their passion, their energy, their attitudes, and I'm going to keep preaching about those things. But sometimes, can I just tell you, as a preacher, sometimes I preach to them as if the people are the key. But people are not the key. Because when I get to thinking that the people and the people's attitude or the people's outlook and the people's activity, that's the key. I forget. Little is much when God is in it. And I forget that it's not my eloquence, not my ability, and it's not people, but it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. I'm going to tell you something. I've seen God work in the church when there's people that was finding fault and had an attitude. Y'all ain't shouting now. Man, I've seen God move when people were backsliding. People were moving toward the door and God was just moving. God was working. God was sending people to take their place. Oh, praise God. Can I tell you the best thing we got going for us is God? It's Holy Ghost anointing. The move of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And you got God going for you. And if God be for us, who can be against us? It took God to get Daniel out of that lion's den. It took God to send fire down from heaven on Mount Carmel and prove that the prophets of Baal were false prophets and that the man of God was the right prophet. It took God with Gideon and his 300 to give the victory over the Midianites. It took God to send a rushing mighty wind into the upper room. And before the day was over, 3,000 were baptized. That was God. It took God to knock Saul of Tarsus off of his high horse and show the light of the gospel and make an apostle out of him. I want to tell you, if God is in the service, if God is in the preaching, if God is in Landmark, if God is working among the people, there is nothing the enemy can do to stop you from getting to your destiny. And for the calling that God has put on Pastor Tim Johnson, amen, and Pastor's wife, Sister Johnson, for the challenge that Landmark Pentecostal can I preach to the church today. For the challenge, and yes, you will have challenges, because every promised land has their Goliaths, and has their giants, and has their walled city. But for every challenge, it's going to take God to get you there. For your future, and for your task, and for your goals, and for your objective. Amen. It's going to take God to get you there. Now, for Israel, it was quite a distance from the slavery of yesterday in Egypt to the abundance that God had in Canaan land. It was quite a distance. And there were a lot of obstacles. There was a lot of hindrances and resistance that was in between where they were and the destination that God had for them. But God had the solution. I'm telling you today, there is a destination. We've got to get our eyes on the destination. We've got to forget those things which are behind us. And we've got to reach forth unto those things which are before us. And we've got to press toward the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. God had the answer for them. He told Moses, "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared." I want to tell you that you cannot make it there without supernatural help. You cannot get there without assistance from another world. You will never complete the task. You will never finish the journey. You will never fulfill the will of God unless you receive some divine assistance. God said, "It's all right though. Don't be afraid. I have sent an angel. You cannot see it, but I've got supernatural help. You cannot lay your eyes on it, but I have got just the solution that you need to get you where I want you to go." Hallelujah. Now, don't take me wrong today. You can be seated. Don't take me wrong. I'm not one of those people who are always sending angels here. Oh, I sent my angel to Kalamazoo to minister to the orphans. I sent my angel over to the abortion clinic to stand up for the unborn. Well, God bless you. I'm not one of those super spiritual types that'll teach you today how to command your personal angel. I don't get up every day and say, "Gabriel, all right, come look at my to-do list. I've got some things for you to do." I haven't even named my guardian angel. I know I should be more spiritual. Pray for me. Some people are so spiritual they name all their angels. But I don't even see very many angels on a regular basis. I'm sorry. You pray for me. Matter of fact, I think if we did, perhaps we probably wouldn't be very cavalier or nonchalant about it, because God said, He said, "I'm sending an angel to you." Now, this is not my message, but you hear this. He said, "I'm sending my angel, and he's going to help you get to that place. But beware of him," in verse 21, "and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversary. I just want to say this. You can have the wrong outlook about the supernatural and it will work against you. Or you can have the right attitude about the supernatural and it will work for you. It can either bring you defeat or it can bring you victory. I just want to have the right attitude about spiritual things. When the Holy Ghost is moving, I want to have the right attitude. When God is working in the church service, I want to have the right attitude. When the pastor says, come on, let's feel after the Spirit of the Lord, I want to have the right attitude. When it's time to be sensitive about the Holy Ghost, I want to have the right attitude. I don't want to be nonchalant about it. Amen. Because like it or not, the apostolic church is a spiritual entity. Worship is not just motion. Worship is a spiritual thing. Prayer is a spiritual activity. Our battles, they are spiritual battles. Because I want to tell you, there is a destination. That's the first thing I want you to remember. But the second thing I want you to remember is there is a devil that is trying to hinder you from reaching your destination. You just might as well get it in your mind when you start moving in those steps of the good man that the psalmist talked about. When you start moving toward the will of God, when you start getting closer to the will of God, when you become more spiritual instead of less spiritual, when you start praying more, when you become more sensitive to the Holy Ghost in a church service, there will be hindrances and there will be distractions to try to stop you from making any spiritual progress. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. There are going to be some hindrances and some distractions to stop you. You can be seated. Amen. The Bible gives us a description of something that takes place in the Spirit. Something that takes place in the realm of the unseen. Here is the vision of the prophet Zechariah. This is what he said in Zechariah chapter number 3 and verse number 1. He said and he showed me, the Lord showed unto me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Joshua is the high priest. Joshua is fulfilling his role. Joshua is in the will of God. Here he is, even in the presence of an angel. But right there in the midst of the will of God, he was facing resistance. I'm preaching to people this afternoon. You are facing resistance. It may be in your body. There may be sickness and health challenges, but you're facing resistance. It may be in your mind. You may be fighting doubt and unbelief, but you're facing resistance. There may be something in the world, some temptation calling to you, but you're facing resistance. And can I tell you, there's never been an hour that the pull of the world has not been stronger. There's never been an hour that the pull of carnality has not been stronger, because the devil is trying to keep us from the will of God. The devil knows if you ever really submit and surrender. The devil knows if you ever really get in that vein that God wants you to be in, you're going to do some damage to the kingdom of darkness. Amen. Well, I feel my help here today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. Even though Joshua was doing the will of God, he faced resistance. even though he was functioning in his God-given role, he was the high priest. I don't care how high you go. You don't go so high that you don't have a devil fighting you. You don't go so high in prayer. You don't go so high in spiritual things that you don't have Satan trying to stop you. Satan was there to stand in his way. Can I tell you today that the goal of Satan is to resist the people of God? If you're called on to lead a service, Satan is going to try to hinder you. If you're called on to play an instrument or to sing a song, are to lead the people in praise, Satan is going to try to resist you. You can be before the very throne, and Satan is going to try to stop you. Amen. Paul spoke of this harsh reality when he wrote in 1 Corinthians 16 and 9, "For a great door, a door to greatness and effectual is opened unto me." Being effective in the work of God. The door, the great door. The door to being mighty and great in the things of God. It's open. The door to being effective. Effective in altar service. Effective in soul winning. I don't know how you feel, but I want to be effective. Effective in preaching. Effective in flowing in the Spirit. Effective in doing the will of God. Effective in having influence for good and righteousness. It's open. But he said, and there are many adversaries. Every attempt to walk through the doors that God will open, it will be met with adversity. Every golden opportunity. I'm not preaching to anybody today. Every golden opportunity will come with an intimidating obstacle to try to stop you and hinder you. But I came to tell somebody to be of good courage today. God wants the enemy defeated worse than you want the enemy defeated. Destination, and there is a devil trying to hinder you from reaching it. And thirdly, I want to bring to you today is there is and there will be divine assistance to get you beyond the obstacles. God said, "I'm sending you supernatural assistance. And I am sending it for this reason. I'm going to deliver you safely to where I have said all along that I would get you. I'm sending you supernatural assistance to help you overcome every different type of resistance that will stand between you and your promise." Hallelujah. I want you to hear what God pledged to the people of Israel. He vowed to them in Exodus 23 and 23, "For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites." Oh, thank God, got victory over the Amorites. But that ain't the only enemy you're going to face. And the Hittites. Whew, thank you, Jesus. All right, got victory over the Hittites. That's not the only enemy you're going to face. And the Perizzites. All right, praise God. All right, got them. Man, surely we can. And the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And I will cut them off. You know what that's telling me? Is in your progression, you're going to have one battle after another battle. You're going to have one enemy after another enemy. You get one victory over one foe, and you celebrate that for a little while and say, "Oh, I got it down now. Woo! the easy walk in the kingdom. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have another enemy pop up in the place of the last enemy that came against you. But God said, even though you've got the next enemy facing you, you are assured that God is going to help you overwhelm what has been overwhelming you. Oh, yes. You just need to stand in the faith today and say, I've got a new enemy. I defeated the last enemy. I defeated that. But the God that helped me win this last battle, even though I've never faced this foe before, I've never faced an adversary like I'm facing, and I'm more scared than I've ever been in my life, then let me tell you, the God that gave me the last victory is the same God that's going to give me this victory. Oh, yes, He will. Oh, yes, He will. Anybody got a hanky I can borrow? Is it clean? All right. I tell you what. I drank somebody's water. I can use somebody's handkerchief. Hallelujah. The God that helped you get through the last battle. I know this enemy looks different than the last one. But the God that gave you the last victory is the God that's going to give you this victory. Hallelujah. I know the Hivites may look different than the Hittites, but just look back at the dead Hittite and say, God gave me that victory. Hallelujah. I said, God's got the divine assistance to get you where you need to go. Ooh. Hallelujah. Somebody said, oh, my Lord, you don't understand. God can't be a healer if the pastor's sick. I came to tell you that devil is a liar. I don't understand why God doesn't heal everybody, but I'm still going to preach. God is the healer. Hallelujah. I'm so glad the early church did not get discouraged by the setbacks that they faced. I'm so glad that when Herod took James, the bishop of Jerusalem, and cut his head off, I'm so glad the church didn't say, oh, well, I guess God's run out of miracles. But when the apostle Peter was taken and brought into prison, oh, hallelujah. Even though the church faced a setback like they had never faced, the death of James did not shut them up. The death of James stirred them up. And instead of the death of James being a setback, the Bible said that they got together and they prayed. Prayer was made unto God by the church without ceasing for the apostle that was in prison. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, this little setback that they faced, it did not produce discouragement. It produced desperation in prayer. What looked like defeat produced desperation. And their desperation produced deliverance. Can I say that again? What looked like defeat produced desperation. And desperation produce deliverance. The faith of the church and the prayer of the church sent an angel into that prison. And the preacher was laid over on his side sleeping. And the angel walked in and said, "Boy, prayer, send me here. The saints, send me here. Faith, send me here. Time to get up. The chains are about to fall off. The door of the prison is about to open. And you're about to have a testimony like you never had. It's time for us to tell defeat. You haven't shut us up. You've stirred us up. You haven't set us down. We're about to stand up in our faith like we never stood before." God's going to send the angel. God's going to send the assistance. God's going to send the deliverance. God's going to move like we've never seen Him move before. Ooh. Amen. Paul was in a storm. Paul was a man that he knew who he was, and he knew where he was going. He had a vision, and he knew how to get there. But just because you're headed the right direction doesn't mean you're not going to run into a storm. Just because you're in the will of God doesn't mean that the wind's not going to blow. Amen. And opposition is not going to find you. Because Euroclodon, the fiercest storm that Paul had ever been in, came against him in that ship. Somebody said, "Paul, we can't hear the will of God. The storm's too strong. Paul, we can't be headed in the right direction. The wind is blowing too fiercely. Paul, we're not going to make it. Nobody's ever survived a storm this severe." But Paul stood up in the darkest day when they had not seen the sun for many days. And he said, "Fear not. I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life. For there stood by me this night the angel of God." The storm may be dark, but the angel's still going to get us there. The wind may be blowing, but the angel's standing right by me. God is going to get us where we need to go. Because there's supernatural assistance close by. I'm preaching to some people. I'm preaching to some folks today that the enemy has been bombarding your mind. You've been focusing on the doubt rather than the destination. You've been listening to the devil instead of thinking about the destination. You've been looking at defeat instead of the destination. You've been so down you can't see the destination. But I want to tell you, you need to start seeing the divine assistance. Hallelujah. 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 Woo. There was a man that he got so down and out, and he fell on hard times, and he had a cousin that invited him into his home till he could get back on his feet. And so he helped him out. And thank God, we've all had times we needed a little help. Thank God for a helping hand. And so things went well for a while, but he stayed. He started to wear out his welfare. A week turned into a month, and a month turned into several months and turned into a year. And finally, the generous cousin decided to have a talk with the freeloader. And so he sat down at the kitchen table and was going to have a heart-to-heart talk. And he said, Cousin, here you are in my house, and you're eating my groceries. You're sitting at my table, and you're sitting in my chair, and that's okay. I'm glad to let you out. And you are sitting here reading my newspaper, and you're wearing my pajamas. And that houseboat you've got over those pajamas, that's my houseboat. You're wearing my slippers. That's okay. I'm willing to help a man out. But you know, you kicked the cat the other day. Now, that's okay with me because I hate that cat. But my wife loves that cat. And then, to top that off, you got my wife mad at me. And, you know, sometimes he gets mad at me, but anyway, you know, I understand that. But let me tell you something. When I see you sitting here across the table from me, and you're grinning at me with my own teeth in your mouth, that's going too far. Somebody, you need to tell the devil that's been sitting at your table, walking your halls, walking through the front door of your house, you've gone too far. You put all the doubt in my mind, you're going to put. You stopped all the prayer in my life, you're going to stop. You stopped all the worship that you're going to stop in my life, I'm drawing a line. You've gone too far. I will have victory. I will be an overcomer. I will let God use me. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Somebody shout with me just a little bit. Stomp on the devil just a little bit today. I will be an overcomer. I will put it under my feet. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Devil, you've gone too far. Devil, you've gone too far. Devil, I've got a right as a saint of God. Devil, I've been bought by the blood. Devil, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Devil, I know what it is to worship till I get a breakthrough. Devil, I know what it is to plead the blood of Calvary. Devil, I know what it is to talk in tongues until God helps me overcome. Devil, I know what it is to pray until I get somewhere in the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody, get the victory in this service today. Come on, somebody, press on through until God renews your mind and renews your strength and renews your soul. Hallelujah! Freedom, freedom. I will have freedom in the Holy Ghost. I will have victory in the Holy Ghost. I will have my joy. I will be a leader of my home. I will have the faith I need to have.
Somebody clap my hands loud and let me go.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
I want to sing a little louder than before. I'm
Lord.